Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America. Good morning, friends all over the world. I'm so happy to have you back here today. And I want you to understand I have the best for you. My thought for you is good. Always to see that you have unexpected ends. I know that you definitely want to succeed on this earth. I know definitely that you want to have a successful life, a life worth living on this earth. I'm with you. That is why I'm trying to bring the best of the best in this radio station, the best of the best. Great men, great women, successful men, great people with great minds that will be able to put you through, that will be able to pick you to the top, if only you can believe and listen. Believe and listen to what they say, if you can, if you are just ready to practicalize what they say. I'm telling you, it is possible to have a blessed day. Let me just read for you before I introduce a great man, a man that has made it in this life. He's going to tell you something today. He's going to tell us something so important that when you take note of it, I'm telling you, your life will never be the same. William James said, let's just hear what William James said. He said, the greatest discovery of my generation is that human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitudes of mind. He said, human beings can alter their lives by altering their attitudes of mind. So the problem we have is our mind. Whatever you feed in your mind matters a lot in this life. This morning, what did you feed into you? If you feed fear, if you feed fear into your mind, that is how it will be. Fear and all those negative things are called dead things, my friend. You have the power. You have the power to alter those attitudes, alter those things that never wants you to make it in this life. But I'm telling you something, there is time. Your time is now. I'm telling you, there's time for everything. Just believe me. When your time comes, you say, wow, where were all these riches? Where were all these good things? He also said, William James said, and he said, we need only in cold blood act as if the thing in question were real. The things you want, they are real. You got to act like that. And you become infallibly real by going into such a connection, my friend. Do you understand? In such a connection, I want you to understand. He said, let's read up there. And it will become infallibly real by going into such a connection with our life that it will become real. It will become so nice with habit and emotion that our interest in it will be those which characterize belief. He also said, if you only care enough for results, you almost certainly obtain it. If you wish to be rich, you will be rich. If you wish to be learned, you will be learned. If you wish to be good, you will be good. Do you understand, my friend? It boils down to altering. Say, human beings can alter their life by altering the attitude of the mind. You've got to alter the attitude of the mind. Let us go straight to this training or to this teaching by Tony Robbins.
He's an American motivational speaker, personal finance instructor, and self-help author. He became well known from his infomercials and self-help books. In 2013, Forbes estimated his net worth to be $480 million. He's Tony Robbins, and here are his top 10 rules for success.
Ultimately, if you're going to have lasting change in anything, you're really talking about just raising your standards. I mean, I always tell people, if you want to know how to change your life, I give it to you in three words, boring as it sounds, raise your standards. But what does that mean? Corny as it sounds, raise your standards. Well, thank you for the breakthrough thought, Tony. I'm glad I wasted my time watching this little email with you. But think about it. Lasting change is different than a goal. You don't always get your goals. but you always get your standards. Maybe it'll help you is to think about it this way. I try to explain standards to people with a different set of words. Think of it as everybody in life gets their musts. They don't get their shoulds. Like, think about it. Most people have a list of shoulds, don't they? Don't you have a list of shoulds, things you should do, you should follow through on? I should lose some weight. I should work out more. I should make more calls. I should respond more rapidly to my email. Whatever, you know? I should get into the office earlier. I should be, you know, more confident. Whatever your should list is, people love to have their should list be met, but it's kind of like New Year's resolutions. If it does, it's really exciting, but if it doesn't, which is most of the time, it's a little disappointing, but you kind of know it's not going to happen. But when you decide something is a must for you, an absolute must, when you cut off any possible, you say, I'm going to find the way or I'm going to make the way. Human beings, when they resolve things, when they make a real resolution inside themselves, which is they raise the standard, they make it a must, they find the way. Think about it in your own life. Haven't you had some area of your life where you raise your standard and your life has never been the same? Maybe at one time in your life you smoked cigarettes, or you did something and you did it for years and you kept trying to change it and kept telling yourself, I should. And then one day something happened. Something just clicked you over. Something took you over that kind of tipping point. And inside yourself you said, no more. It was a very, very different experience, wasn't it? Something inside of you shifted. And what was a should became a must, and you've never gone back. Is there an area like that in your life you can think of? Again, did you ever smoke cigarettes? Did you ever eat a certain way, drink a certain form of alcohol, and then finally say no more, and you just don't go back? And notice this, it doesn't really take any willpower anymore. Because somewhere when we make this click, when we make something a must, we attach ourselves to it. It becomes part of our identity. One thing I've learned in the last, 33 years of working with people from now over 100 countries, 4 million people, is human beings absolutely follow through on who they believe they are. If you said to me, well, I'm really going to work hard to stop smoking, but, you know, I've been a smoker my whole life, and I am a smoker. I know your days are numbered. You're going to be back smoking cigarettes again because we all act consistent with who we believe we are. I tell people the strongest force in the whole human personality is this need to stay consistent with how we define ourselves. If you define yourself as somebody who is really conservative, you're not going to be crazy and act nuts unless you're really drunk or something, and then you can say it's the alcohol, when it's really just you finally getting permission to be yourself. The alcohol is your excuse. If you're a really crazy person, you act crazy, outrageous, playful. You don't act conservative because that's not who you are. Very often people say, well, I can't do that. I'm not that kind of person. And I always say to people, really, when did you define yourself? I mean, really, how many years ago did you come up with what you could and couldn't do in your life? How many years ago? Most people, if they really look at how they're living their life today, it's based on a set of standards, a set of beliefs that they made choices about 10, 20, 30 or more years ago. I mean, very often we made decisions in our youth or very young about what to believe, about what we were capable of, about who we are as a person, and that becomes the glass ceiling, if you will, that controls us. There's a corny metaphor, but it's true. I remember one time I was with my family at the circus, and there was a person there, and they had this big, giant elephant. And you look at this elephant, and they take this little rope, put it around the elephant's neck, and they drive this stake into the ground. And, I mean, you look at this, and you know that elephant could rip down the entire tent with almost no effort. And yet the elephant doesn't struggle, doesn't try. Why? Because the elephant's conditioned. And they take that elephant, condition the elephant when it's a baby elephant. That's how they train them. When it's a little baby elephant and it doesn't have the power yet, they put a big rope around it, and they drive this huge stake in the ground, and the elephant fights and fights and fights. And one day, finally, that elephant decides, I'm not capable of pulling this out. And once that becomes the definition of an identity of anyone, an elephant in this case, they don't even try anymore. It's just who I am. That's how it is. That's just the way it is in my life. I'd like to ask you to take a look at any place you've got a limitation and ask yourself, when did I decide to accept that limitation? And you may not even see it as a limitation. You might see it as just that's who I am. But so often in our lives, we've adapted to be a certain way so that we don't fail or so that people will like us or respect us, but it's not necessarily who we are. Joy comes when you're spontaneous. It's really hard to be truly happy when you're not being yourself. And most of us have no clue who we are. And so a big part of my work, if you've ever been to an event, you know, is to get people to do things spontaneously without thinking, because that's when the real you shows up. That's when the energy comes alive. And when you do that, when you start to connect to your true nature, suddenly there's energy available for you to set a higher standard for what you want in your life. That's what this is really all about. And when I talk about standards, when I talk about, you know, shoulds versus musts, think about your own life. I know there have been areas in your life where some point in time you just shifted and you raised the standard and your life changed. Because whatever people have their identity attached to, they live. We live who we believe we are. That's just how it works. It's just kind of like, I'll give you an example. Look at your physical body. Your physical body today is an absolute reflection of only one thing, not your goals, not your desires, but your standards, the identity you have for yourself. If your standard is you're an athlete, then there's a certain amount of strength, a muscle tone, and energy that's available in your body on a regular basis because that's who you are. And so you do whatever's necessary to maintain that identity. Again, the strongest force in the human personality is this need to stay consistent with how we define ourselves. Because if you don't know who you are, you wouldn't know how to act. Once you lock in on that identity, your brain finds a way to keep you there. If you say, man, I'm overweight, I've always been overweight, I'm big boned, and that's the story you've got, then you're going to always find a way to get back there. That's your settling point. That's your identity. That's where things lock in. If you see somebody who's in really great shape, you ask them, do you work out? You know the answer. Yes. How often? And they'll tell you 3 times, 4 times, 5 times a week, whatever. In a seminar, I'll ask people, who here works out at least 5 days a week? And I'm stand up. And you look around that room, and you know that they work out 5 times a week because you can see their body. You don't just get a result without some kind of action, without some form of ritual. Ritual meaning actions you do consistently. Now, do you think those people that are out there working out 5 days a week, do they have more time than you do, or I have, or anybody else? Of course not. Is their life less busy? Of course not. It's just a must for them. They must work out that way, and they've made that turn, and their life changed. So I'm not saying you have to work out 5 days a week. I'm just saying whatever you really want, wants don't get met consistently. Standards do. Whatever you identify, this is who I am. And so it's not so much about changing your identity as it is expanding it. You know, deciding that, you know, instead of your goal to lose 10 pounds, which is not compelling, what if your vision was to get back to my fighting weight? You know, this year, this month, this next 90 days, I'm going to transform my body. I'm going to take on a new challenge. I'm going to find some technique or strategy, there's a million of them, that can reframe myself where I want to feel younger, stronger, more vibrant than ever before. Here's my reasons, because I want the energy to really make my life work, because it's tough out there, and I want to be stronger than I've ever been before. I want to go in front of the mirror, and if I'm naked, not, you know, want to laugh. I want to look there and take a good look and go, yeah, I'm proud of whatever I see there. Whatever it takes, something's going to make you laugh, smile, something's going to tease yourself, but something's going to move you to another level. If you identify yourself in a new way and you own that every day and that becomes the standard of how you live, you'll find the way to make that standard real. Money's the same way. Think about it. It doesn't matter what's happening, quote unquote, in the marketplace. People that make money find a way to make money no matter what, don't they? I mean, most people's standard is to pay their bills. So that's what most people find a way to do, even when economic times get tough. Most people, if that's their absolute standard, find a way. Some people's standard is pay their bills most of the time. And so most of the time they do. Some people's standard is not just to pay their bills, but to take care of their family and maybe even some of their friends. And they find a way. In fact, you know, some people may be in a family where they don't have enough money. They barely have money to pay their bills. They work their guts out. And if somebody, their mother, their father, somebody else, their sister gets ill and there's not enough money to take care of it, nobody else has money in the family, they don't either, but they find a way to get that money to take care of their mother or father, don't they? And pay their bills. They never could do it before. Why? The situation made them raise their own standard. And not everybody does that. Somebody else in the family might have money and still not take care of their mother. It all comes down to the inner game, my friends. Changing your life is a change in the inner game. The outside world you can't control, but you have absolute control over this one if you learn the dynamics of what shapes you. And identity is one of those simple, clear, fundamental basics that if you start to shift it, everything else will shift in your life as well. Some people, by the way, have to have more than enough money to do what they want, when they want, where they want, with whomever they want, contribute the way they want. If that's their must, they find a way. I know that sounds overly simplistic, but it's true. You know, somebody once said, you can take all the money in the world out of the hands of everybody, out of all the wealthy people in the world who are really successful, give it to other people. It wouldn't take too long. Those people would have it back in their hands. Not because they're manipulative. It's because they have a standard. Some are manipulative, don't get me wrong. But they've got a standard of what they're going to find a way to make happen. I'm just simply saying to you, take those three magic words and live them. Raise your standard. Michael Gerber, the guy that wrote The E-Myth, you know, talks about why so many businesses, young businesses, fail. And one of the things he says is most people are not really entrepreneurs, but they think that's what they should be. They think that's the sexy thing. That's the most attractive thing. That's the best answer. And what I say to you is you got to separate the vehicle from the outcome. What is it that's going to truly fulfill you? What is it that's going to give you that extraordinary life? What's going to make things magnificent on your terms, not somebody else's terms, not your father, your mother, your background? What is that really? Separate the vehicle. There's just many ways to get to that vehicle. But I'm saying sometimes you got to reevaluate what's going to really make you fulfilled. What is your gift? Are you an artist? Are you the talent that can produce something no one else produces as a skill or a product or a service or some impact? Are you incredibly good at management? You really know how to manage or lead people. Are you an extraordinary entrepreneur that can take that gigantic gut load of risk and can create the vision and attract the talent that you need and the managers and leaders? You may have all three abilities, but which one really fulfills you the most is going to be the critical question. Because we tend to want to do them all, especially in a room like this, because you're all overachievers, right? Me too. And you say, well, I can do all these. Yes, you can, but what will it do to your quality of life? See, again, the secret's going to be this. What is an extraordinary life on your terms today? Things are not going to make you happy. That's good news in a tough economy. It's a good reminder. You know, it doesn't matter what you get. It doesn't matter whether it be money or opportunity. All those things might excite you for the moment. You know, even a relationship, as magnificent it may be, might be exciting for a while. But if you don't keep growing, that relationship isn't going to stay exciting. So the secret to real happiness is progress. Progress equals happiness. And if we can make progress on a regular basis, we feel alive. And that's why at the beginning of the year, we get this thing like, okay, I can have this fresh start. I can really do what my soul desires. I can expand. I can grow. I can improve. I can change. Or maybe better than change, I can progress. See, think about that. Progress is an aliveness to it, doesn't it? You don't have to work at changing. People say all the time now, well, I'm working on changing. Don't worry about it. You don't have to work on changing. Change is automatic. Your body's going to change whether you want it or not as the years go by. And no matter how hard you work, there's going to be some changes going on there. The economy is going to change no matter what you want it to do. The weather is going to change. Relationships are going to change. Everything in life is always changing. We don't have to work on change. Change is automatic, but progress is not. So if you want to make real progress, then you really got to look at your life in a different way. You got to say, I got to take control of this process and not just hope it's going to work out like people do who make a resolution. Treat people at the end of the relationship like it's the beginning, and there won't be an end. And that's not just your intimate relationship. What if your customers, what if you fell in love with your customers, with your clients, more than your product, more than your company? If your entire life is about meeting their needs, if you would do what for your customers, clients, you would do what? If you love your customers and clients, you do anything, guess what? They're going to love you. But most people love their customers and clients as long as they buy from them, do what they want, respond to them. And if they don't, then that's the end. You want clients for life, not just customers? Fall in love with them. It's a different focus, isn't it? It's a different meaning. And that creates a different life because you make decisions differently from that place. What does it take to create world-class marketing? What is the unique selling proposition? What is what we call value-added marketing, VAM? Today, most people are sick and tired of advertising because where is it? Everywhere. In fact, I've got a question for you. How many of you in this room do not even see banner ads anymore? Literally, it's there, but you don't perceive it. Like your brain literally washes it out. Raise your hand if that's true. Keep your hands nice and high and look around the room right now, and you'll see 98% of the people wash it out. So don't buy them unless you're going to create something really unique. It's a total waste of your money and your time in the world we're in today. Today, what creates marketing is when you don't just market, but you add value to people. You do something. You teach them. You give them an insight. You give something valuable that costs them nothing, and then they look to you as an expert They look to you as a person that adds value. They want you to supply them more information, more experience, more products, more services. If you make this whole business about meeting your needs, you can run a successful business, but it'll be a job. So you'll never be able to sell it. Because if it's just meeting your needs, it's not a system. It demands your attention, your connection. It's giving what you want. But ultimately, it's not going to give somebody else what they want, so you can't sell it. If you can't sell your business, if you don't have an exit strategy, you have a job. I don't care how successful the business is. That doesn't mean you have to sell the business. But one of the most important decisions you make in business is, ultimately, if I was going to sell this, if I chose to, I have to know who I sell this to so that I have long-term value, not just an income along the way. I have this critical mass yet. I get a multiple of my business. And most people don't have a clear exit strategy. They think, I'll come up with that someday. You've got to start with that in mind. That's got to be part of your focus if you're going to be successful in your business. I can remember a gentleman who's built CAA in Hollywood, his largest, most successful agency, right? Michael Ovitz, remember that name? He put together Nike and Coca-Cola and these billion-dollar deals. And eventually, Mike Ovitz went to go sell that business. He'd never thought through an exit strategy, and he got almost nothing for it. Because the laws prevented him from selling it to a studio. He had to sell it to some of his employees for pennies on its real value. Now, Mike found a way to make money later on in another place off of Disney. But the bottom line is, the guy didn't have an exit strategy. And it was brilliant. Made lots of money in the end, didn't get the value. Whenever people fail to achieve their goals, 99.9% of the time, you ask them why, they'll tell you it's because of a lack of resources. That's what all these things are. I didn't have the support, right? I didn't have the money. We didn't have the time. We didn't have this. We didn't have that. There's a resource that people believe is missing. And that resource, belief structure, then keeps people from ever being able to really lead. Because what leaders do is they find a way to maximize whatever resources they have, however little they may be. And they don't believe in limited resources. I'll give you an example. Let's take a business example to start with. In 1974, a guy named Sam Walton had built his little company up. He came up with an idea. He started with $20,000 in, I think, 1962, if I remember right. But by 1974, within 12 years, he had 78 stores. And you know how he did it? In the middle of the night, he'd drive across border, and he'd go and study other people's stores. He'd buy everything as cheap as he could in the middle of the night. He'd go to other people's stores. Whatever was working, he figured out success leaves clues. He came back and did it in his store. Whatever was working in any store, in any competitor, anywhere he could do it, he did it. So he figured out how to maximize the little resources he had, his 20,000, built 78 stores, and if you read any of the people following him, the company had gone public in that year, they were all saying, this is it. He's maximized his resources. I mean, he only has so much money. There's only so many cities that are going to appeal to this discounting mentality, right? This is it. This is all he can do. And the word on Wall Street was sell. Now, what's interesting is at that time, you look at Sears and Kmart, and they were gargantuan companies, weren't they? 20, 30, 40, 50 times, 100 times his size or more, probably. And at that time, they were the leaders, and they knew what's going to happen. But did things change, yes or no? Did he suddenly get mass amounts of capital? No. Here's what they didn't understand. Sam Walton now, or the Walton Organization, Walmart, is the most successful retailing operation on earth. And when you talk about Bill Gates being the richest man in the world, that's only true because Sam's fortune is divided up amongst a bunch of different family members. You put them together, they dwarf Bill Gates. Sam Walton did this. How did he do it? What people underestimated is that this guy could go to 4,400 stores, do $250 billion. Where's Kmart today? And they've been shrinking. All of them are shrinking. And he's the dominant force on earth. Here's the thing he understood. Resources are interesting, but the ultimate resources are the feelings of emotion that make you resourceful. Think of it this way. Resourcefulness is the ultimate resource. What do I mean? What are the emotions that make all this possible? What's the fuel that takes an idea from being in your head when you intellectually know what to do? How many have had an idea, for example, was a great idea, you're excited about it, and then you didn't do anything. One day, there you saw it on the shelf, you saw it somewhere, someone stole your idea. How many have had this happen? Say I. The only difference between you and that person was not that they had more resources, they were more resourceful. Success and failure are not giant events. They don't just show up. You don't just suddenly become successful or suddenly have this cataclysmic event that makes you fail. We look that way. But failure comes from all the little things. It's failure to make the call. It's failure to check the books. It's failure to say, I'm sorry. It's failure to push yourself to do things physically that you don't want to do. And all those little failures day after day come together until one day some cataclysmic event happens. You blame that. That event happened because you missed all the little stuff. Do you agree with me? And success, by the way, is not some overnight event. It's all these little things. Success is having a vision. Success is making it compelling. Success is really seeing it, feeling it every day for strong enough reasons. Success is feeling the sense that I'm here to grow and I'm here to give something to the world more than just myself. All the little stuff. That's where success comes from. In business, it comes from delivering more than anybody could imagine. All those little things add up. People go, wow, that's who I want to do business with. It's true in any area of your life. Leverage is critical. You know, I get so much done.
Hi, friends. I hope you have gotten something for today. I want you to understand it is possible to have a blessed day. Raise your standard. Raising your standard is very, very important, whatever you are doing in this life. Raise your standard. You've heard it very well. And as you raise your standard, you begin to see things, the impossible become possible in your life. I will see you again tomorrow by 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And I just know that what Tony Robbins has given us today will live in our life as we go through this journey of success. I know you are happy. Take action now. I'll talk to you again tomorrow by 10 a.m. Eastern Time. 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Remember, bless. I shall bye for now.